Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the TE Podcast by Developing Lafayette. My name is Ben Powers. I'm your host. And what we like to do with this podcast is we like to invite different business owners, different community influencers in Lafayette Parish that really highlight Lafayette Parish and what we're all about.
Today is a good episode. We got the Girl Scouts of Louisiana dash Pine to the Gulf.
Pines to the Gulf, that's correct.
Okay. We'll elaborate on that a
little
bit.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
If you're not familiar with this podcast, it's the tea. We try not to gossip. We just, I have tea that I drink. I guess you can drink gossip, the tea. I don't know how that works. But anyway, today we're going to be talking a little bit about the Girl Scouts and all that's involved. We have Rachel Broussard, who's the CEO of the Girl Scouts. And then we have Diane Trim, who's Marketing and Communications Manager for the Girl Scouts of Louisiana. So I will let you guys kind of introduce yourselves to the listeners first, and whoever wants to go first, it doesn't matter.
I'll do the do first.
All right.
Ben, thank you so much for having us. I'm hoping we have a great conversation today and make some things happen for our girls. Just a little bit about me. I can't help but always start with I am literally a girl from the country. That is my intro when I speak with my girls because I really, I love being a resident of Lafayette, but I'm originally from Vermilion Parish, so I always have to give a shout out to Vermilion Parish,
yeah.
Us country folks. It's the stuff that made me. Grow up to be who I am today. I've been with Girl Scouts for almost 20 years now, believe it or not.
20 years.
20 years. And every time I say it, I have to take a deep breath because it reminds me that I've gotten lots more gray hair. But I wasn't always confident leader that I've been, that I could have been. I have done a lot of things in my life. I always tell my girls, I'm from the country and I was you when I was, 10 years old, even at 18 years old, that girl who really didn't know who she wanted to be in life, what she wanted to do. And that led me to the military, believe it or not. I am a U.S. Army vet. I've been an AmeriCorps team member at UL. I've been a children's counselor who worked for abused children. I did that for about 5 years. So I've done a lot of cool stuff, hard stuff, but I really did not find my leadership voice until I went to Girl Scouts.
Wow.
And so even as a, started Girl Scouts at about 25-ish, somewhere in there, very young woman, but it became sort of the background for who I am today and who I am able to be for our girls every day. And I'm so thankful that every day I get to go to work and I'm in the business of building tomorrow's leaders. That is what I get to do every day. And I love to emphasize get to do. Because the girls themselves and our volunteers allow me to serve them every day. It's not easy, but it's something that I really love. I love it, coming to work every day with that purpose of that girl behind my mind, that girl who was me, that girl who had not been outside of Kaplan, Louisiana, who was looking for, I had lots of opportunities, but just was not sure who I could be. I didn't know sort of the possibilities. And my whole leadership story is around trying to find my leadership path. And so for me to today to be in the position to work with girls in that capacity is so rewarding. Because sometimes I wonder, how much further or where else could I have been, and how much stronger of a leader could I be today had I have been able to have the leadership practice and opportunities that our girls today have in Girl Scouting. So I really, I honor the girls, and I thank them every day for allowing me to help them grow and to have those opportunities. So 20 years into this, still ticking as long as they'll have me. And it's good. It's good. That's a little bit about who I am. I have to put a plug in. I am the mother of a girl who grew up in Girl Scouting.
Okay.
Only one. She sort of keeps me in check with, I call it the pace of our girls.
Gotcha.
Because I know every day when she gets on that school bus, well, now she's old enough to have a car. when she leaves that house, when she comes back, she's going to be somebody different.
Okay.
And that really has, it keeps me true. And it keeps me in that moment of how fast our girls are changing every day. And, of course, got a wonderful husband, wonderful spouse, who is a longtime employee of PHI. He's in the numbers, and I love that about him. But sometimes I gotta get him into the people. So I'm sure you know how that can be.
Indeed. Well, definitely. Cool. I really appreciate you telling us a little bit about you and how you got started, and you've delved them pretty deep right there. And Diane, if you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, so I'm actually born and raised in the Lafayette area. Mom's from Lorville, the little small town, and dad's from New Iberia. So really deep roots in that South Louisiana area. I have a unique story too. I was a Girl Scout, so I have it kind of from that perspective. Was involved in the program. My mother was my troop leader, so had a really good experience as far as what I learned and through the program. And I really attest all of that knowledge to kind of where I am today and who I've become. I'm a graduate of UL Lafayette twice, so really stayed in this area. Big fan of developing Lafayette. Keep up with everything through that. Follow everything on social media. So personally for me, this is a really good opportunity and something that I've always looked forward to doing. But I find the experience had kind of promoted me from a young age, knowing that I wanted more leadership, that I wanted those skills, and keeping that here and, you know, keeping that here local in that Louisiana area, really focusing on giving women and building my opportunity here to make our area a better place. We mentioned the Pines to the Gulf, kind of the name of that is we reach girls from the Pines of Louisiana to the top, the Shreveport, Monroe region, to the Gulf of Mexico, you know, our Lafayette, Iberia Parish, Vermilion Parish, all those girls in between. Yes. And it's really about, you know, promoting that opportunity and getting those girls, you know, leadership skills so that they can make Louisiana better for women all over the state.
Wow. Okay. So you guys unpacked a lot already, which is good. So you obviously touched on the Pines to the Gulf thing, and that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. I used to live in near Alexandria.
Oh, and, wow. You know, okay.
Full of pine trees.
Yeah, definitely.
You start to get a little bit of... Yeah, it's country. Trust me. Country.
We had two caution lights. That's what I pride myself on. Two. So not much going
on.
That
was in Kaplan.
In Kaplan, yeah. Only a Sonic, only a McDonald's today. And I've been out of that town for 30 years. So it took them until probably 10 years ago to have a McDonald's. Like there is, love that town. Love it, love it, love it. But there's a lot of front porches. You know, a lot of fun things to do in the parks. But there's not a lot of economy, not a lot going on. And so I always have to advocate for the people there. They're good people, and they need young leaders, you know, like what we're trying to do through Girl Scouting.
So I want to talk a little bit about the Girl Scouts. And also, so I was a Boy Scout when I was younger. And I want to try to understand the differences between Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, because as a little boy, I always wondered what the differences were. Mm-hmm. And as an adult, I still wonder what the difference, because the first thing that I think about whenever I think of Girl Scouts is the obvious: cookies.
Yes.
So we'll talk about the cookies in a little bit. But what are some of the differences, like high level differences, you know, about Girl Scouts versus Boy Scouts?
Mm-hmm. I always, when we talk about Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, for me, I always take it back to the fact that our founders, Julia Gardenlow and Lord Baden Powell, at one point, long time ago, they came about and they had a vision that girls and boys would be afforded scouting opportunities, leadership opportunities, and advancement in a way that maybe they had not had before. And so I always say we grew up together as Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. That's who we are. You know, our programs are in that way a lot alike. And so for us, though, as Girl Scouts, what we can say for sure and what we know for sure is that for over 100 years, we've been involved in and about the business of girl learning and development in so many different aspects, to include the cookie program. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But the bottom line is we are very fortunate to have grown up with girls. The organization that we were 100 years ago looks totally different. It's totally different from who we are today. And it goes back to the story about my daughter. Like, we have an obligation to keep up with the changing nature of the girl. And so as the girls have grown, it used to be, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, that it was important for a girl to know the cut of meat. Today, you can walk into any supermarket and you can get whatever you need, and so you don't need that. But today, it's important to know how to market digitally, which a girl learns from the cookie program. It's important to know or be engaged in the opportunities with STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. That's what a girl today is getting. You know, cuts of meat, they're gone. And so, I can only speak to what I'm familiar with, and that's our program. I'll tell you, we have grown up as a family, like, you know, and so for us, our focus is solely on girl, and we are heavily invested in, and maybe this is something that makes it different or keeps us alike, is that we really have done the homework and the research around how important a single sex or gender environment is for girls in particular. I can personally tell you, and I'm sure lots of other moms who have been sixth graders, that I don't know if you have children, but if you do and it's a girl, what I can tell you for sure is when she enters sixth grade, like when my daughter went to Edgar Martin Middle in sixth grade, this girl loved math. She got it from her dad. You know, he's an accountant and she is math. She didn't get it from me. She loves math. She loves science. But what I know for sure is when she got in that sixth grade class, she started to pull back. She started to, even though she was smart, she was great at math. She could out-math me any day. She quits raising her hand. And the issue with that is it's all about competition is great. Yeah. We need competition. Oh, yeah. But there's also this need to have that safe space free of competition where we can do what I like to talk about. It's hard for all of us, but we learn all of our lessons, or the majority of our lessons, from failing. If you think about and you recall, Ben, if I said to you today, tell me your best lesson learned, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be related back to some failure that you had. Mm-hmm. You know, this podcast, it's an awesome, awesome opportunity for the community and for you as well. I'm sure the quick setup we got today, it took you a while to get here. Yeah. And that's where we are with our girls. Like, that's the beauty of Girl Scouting, is that girl can come in and she can be safe to fail at math, to fail at science. As a matter of fact, I wanted to fail and fail and fail. I wanted to fail her way to success.
And it's interesting that you put it that way.
You know, I'm going to be very transparent and honest with you. I've thought about that a lot, but that's been an epiphany for me recently, both on a professional level and a personal level. And I have a girl. I have a teenage daughter who fails every day. Mm-hmm. I fail every day. And so it needs to be all right for her to fail, because the only way we ever get anywhere and learn something, and here's going back to Girl Scouting, we have our girls who are in grades second and third grade. They are called Brownie Girl Scouts. Everybody's seen the cute little brownie vest and the little triangular badge, but probably never noticed the significance of it. The triangle can be associated with trying. And so the objective is to make sure that a girl as early as second grade tries something. And that in adult language is feeling safe to take a risk to try something new.
Yeah.
Because had Ben not have said, I got an idea, I want to do this podcast. And oh my God, it's hard. I don't know where to start, but I gotta try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not sure that's hypothetically.
No, that's pretty close.
That's a hypothetical situation. But at some point, you made up your mind that you were gonna try it, and if you failed, you look like the type of guy who would have tried and tried and tried until you got it. And that's at the core of that safe space that we're creating for the girls, because naturally, for whatever reason, In that middle school age, girls take a step back. The boys are still raising their hands. And this is not my research, not Girl Scouts research. It's out there. It's been the way it is for years since you and I were in middle schools. I remember being that girl. You know, I remember being that girl where Miss Timmy took me out of ninth grade class and said, you're better than, you know, this C average class. We're going to put you in honors class, because you can do it. But the shy girl that I was, the timid sort of, I'm not gonna take any risk, it affected me in that way. And so that troop leader is Miss Timmy. She's the person that says, you can do this, you need to try it. And yes, you're gonna mess up, but it's okay, because you're gonna try again tomorrow. That's what Girl Scouts is. You know, we talk cookies a lot, and 'cause that's what everybody sees.
Yeah.
But in life, it's always about those little things. It's about those little opportunities. Because the girl that tries in a troop meeting to do a complicated, we have a cybersecurity badge, right? Miss Rachel, 48 years old. Yes, I said this live on public. 48 years old. I can't tell you where to start. I can't remember my passwords half the time. You know, and they're so simple that you could crack my code. But girls are learning that's an important skill. You need to be able to protect your identity.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to it's not just about you in Girl Scouting. We are preparing girls to protect Ben's identity, to grow up and be a leader in the cybersecurity and STEM field and contribute to their community, because we see what's happened with our politics and how easy it is for hackers to get in and influence things. And so our girls, they're learning how important these things are. They're learning how to protect themselves and how to go out one day and maybe protect their community. That takes a lot of courage, because that's not something that we talk about every day. It's sort of new. Not many people know how to do it. And so it's foreign. But that is what happens in that safe environment where I don't have to worry about competing with my peers, boys or girls, because Miss Rachel said it's okay for me to try it. And she knows I might not get it quite right, but she's going to give me a chance to try. And so I think for both organizations, that is one of, you know, the best things ever, is that for both boys and girls, there's this sort of safe environment away from competition, because between soccer, classrooms, and everything else, that you compete all day long. And God, I shouldn't even bring up social media, because we compete now on social media. The competition follows them home on social media. So where then does that safe space opportunity come in? And that's where it is for both organizations. I think for us, that's sort of what we stand on. We stand on the fact that that is a unique opportunity for girls that no one else can provide them with at this point. I mean, we even compete in our families. You know, I have a competitive 18-year-old at this point, and we compete, you know, and it's a small family, but it's where we are.
Yeah.
So if I had to talk, I'm not sure if I answered your question. I hope I gave you
something. No, you're doing fantastic.
That you were looking for, but you know, I've only known Girl Scouts, and I know for sure that is what makes us unique. From apart from anybody, I guess the other thing would be the homework, because it's all about doing your homework. We're so fortunate to have a national organization that believes in learning about the girl. We have our own Girl Scout Research Institute. It's the best kept secret in the world. And they're not just studying girls that are in Girl Scouting. Their job is to have a stake in the game for all girls. Right. You know, for girls who, and even more so for girls who aren't in Girl Scouting. And so when we talk program delivery and platforms, you know, our STEM pledge, and the fact that we are on that mission to fuel the pipeline for females in the STEM field. Like, there is a pledge. There is something that we're standing behind. And every day, Diane and I, and women who are in Girl Scouts across the world, we come together and we say, we're making this happen. You know, that females belong in that space. They have something to bring. So what are we going to do about it? When you look at financial literacy and the well-being of our girls, we're a nonprofit, just like food banks and, shelters. I've been a part of those particular organizations and they're so important. And a lot of times, as Girl Scouts, people say, oh, that's an after-school program. That's great, Rachel and Diane, y'all keep doing that. But the bottom line is, it's about leadership. But to be honest with you, my goal every day is to see that a girl doesn't get to the shelter, to see that a girl doesn't get to the food bank, because we have somehow impacted her abilities to support herself, to sustain, to get a good job, to realize the importance of education and how that's going, and hard work, and how that will propel her and put her in the position to not have to end up in that space. So it's so much more than a fun activity for us, you know, and even so much more than cookies. We love them, but we're so much more than that.
Well, so the cookies is just the front fun stuff for people to take part in. It's basically you're instilling a entrepreneurship, a mindset for girls. You're teaching them lessons on how to kind of market and how to break out of their box of communicating with people. Like, I know a lot of times
we need more people like you who understand it.
Well, you know, so I see the Girl Scouts a lot of times at Super One. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Karen Crow. So we'll come out. Definitely. And or before we even go in, we see them, and my wife and I are talking, like, we don't have cash or nothing like that. So we go, and I think as we are walking in, they'll approach us, or, you know, sometimes it's usually when we're walking out. But I think there was one time I told him, I said, we don't have cash, but we'd love it, mm-hmm. but we don't have cash. She goes, oh, no, I think we take debit card now. And I'm like,
they got one for that.
I said, oh, my God, this is dangerous now. Like, yeah. I don't have an excuse.
It is.
I'm like, okay, well, give me two boxes of those Thin Mints and mm-hmm. two boxes of the Samoas. And sure enough, we go home with $20 worth of cookies. So it's like,
they will get you.
Yeah, they will get it. But, you know, we never feel bad. Of course, we never feel bad eating cookies, but we never feel bad supporting that, because I know that if I were a younger person, boy or girl, whichever, you know, mm-hmm. how, you know, I would love that experience of, you know, just trying to basically run a business or a lemonade stand, for the lack of better words. And so I would have loved that as a kid. Now, my Boy Scout experience is not quite as elaborate as it sounds for the Girl Scouts. I was basically, the Boy Scouts was like, hey, here's how you tie a knot. Here's how you build a fire.
We do a little bit of that too.
You know, and that's good lessons. That's good lessons. But, man, I would have loved the entrepreneurial, like, business side. And I think maybe they're there now, Boy Scouts. I don't know. I haven't been in Boy Scouts in a long time. But, yeah, no, it's really interesting to hear where the path has gone for the Girl Scouts, going from how to pick meat out to, you know,
it's true.
All this education and like entrepreneurial spirit. Like that's pretty amazing.
It's true. And like the money from the, so of course the girls make money from the cookie program. It's an entrepreneurial program. But many people kind of wonder, where does the money go after, you know, what do you do with the money? And the money for the most part goes to support, you know, their activities. Like you said, you know, the knot tying, the building the fire, the camping, things like that. But they also use their money for a wide variety of things that even as someone working for the organization surprises me every day. Recently for now Lourdes Women's and Children's Hospital, we had a couple of Girl Scouts, Girl Scout troop, build, make little stuff, cute little stuff llamas with all different kind of colors, Valentines and everything, and they dropped them off to all the children that were currently staying in the hospital. And you know, they used their money and their hard-earned work from their business to fund that opportunity. Girls do things like, we have our higher awards, something we really work on pushing towards our Girl Scouts, in particular our gold awards. We have a bronze, silver, and a gold. Our bronze and silver awards are basically community service projects. You go out in the community, you might see an issue or a problem somewhere, especially like in Lafayette, something you might want to adjust. But more importantly, we have our gold award. And so you build up this whole experience of leadership and how to grow and learning all these skills and these cybersecurity badges and how to go to camp and how to survive. And, you know, you build all this up into this one award that helps you take all the skills you learned in both the cookie program and the outside programming, outside of cookies, the badges and the patch opportunities, and you do a take action project. We really focus that award on not just being a community service impact, but being a long-standing impact. Doing a project that can sustain itself over time, making sure that once you're complete with the project and you move on to, you know, college or trade school or wherever it is that you're going to go into your career field, that your project keeps it going. One particular that I always like to talk about because it has a big impact, you know, in my area, in that New Iberia area, is we had a Gold Award Girl Scout, Alyssa. And Alyssa focused her gold award on creating a scholarship fund to attend Catholic high school in New Iberia. And so she raised money and raised funds to be able to pay for the tuition for one student per year for the next 15 years.
Wow.
So her project, you know, it wasn't just about raising money and doing a community impact to provide scholarship opportunities to attend that school for that year. She created a project that was sustainable and that will sustain its growth past her, you know, past her experience. And now she's in college, you know, she's kind of moved on from that, but that project will keep going. And she's taken, you know, it's taken her from that little bitty brownie Girl Scout in that troop environment and her troop leader telling her, you can do that, you can try that, to grow it, to give an opportunity for other girls and other women and boys too, to be able to have an education followed. You know, she has a scholarship in her name and she's, you know, she did it when she was 17 years old.
Wow.
So that's a big, the turning point for girls and Girl Scouts is that gold award, and how they lead up all the way and they take everything they learned to really make a difference and a change, mm-hmm. a positive impact in our communities.
Wow. I feel like I have done nothing with my life. Like hearing that a 17-year-old...
I feel that way every day like being among these girls. I'm telling you.
Like hearing that a 17-year-old girl created a scholarship fund that is sustainable and is going to fund for 15 plus years. I'm like, what did I
like, did immediately I do the same
flashback
thing.
Like, what have I done with my life? Like I, yeah. my like 13 through 15 year range, like that's a pretty pivotal point in most people's lives because mm-hmm. you're changing a lot. I stayed up till 7 in the morning playing video games on my computer. Yeah. Like I was not exploring how to build a scholarship thing or anything
that's
like
hilarious.
That. Like, oh my God.
But you see, that goes back to what I was saying. Like had I had that opportunity. Who knows? It's like you wonder. A lot of times I sit back and wonder, like, that leadership, that practice, that sort of, it's okay. Some kids, they're like, I can't dream that. Like, that's impossible. But that's the beauty of the program of that safe environment is we say it is possible. And let's figure out how we get to can do. Like, how, what does it take? What are the actionable steps? And it's a lot. She didn't say hours. Like the requirement is like over 60 hours of community service and, you know, on the project. And it's a lot of work. And so they learn that I can do it one step at a time, one bite at a time. And sometimes you don't have that person there to say, it's okay to dream big. And that's a big part of what I think, listening to Diane, I hadn't even thought about it. The goal to war can be for girls is... It's that I have an idea, I have a dream, mm-hmm. and I'm not quite sure how to get there, but you need somebody to say, yeah, you can do it.
You know, man, my parents raised me to be open to doing whatever I felt like I wanted to do whenever I grew up. They didn't really have too mm-hmm. much pressure onto me, like, oh, you need to be forced to go to college, or you need mm-hmm. to be this or that, you need to be a doctor. So I had the ability to kind of be a free range kind of, I guess, thinker. But I still struggle. And even with my dad had several businesses. He hand painted signs back when hand painting signs was a thing. Now you don't hand paint signs. You get them vinyl cut mm-hmm. anyway, or printed. So, but there were several times where I as a kid watching my dad, I knew that he was trying, but there were times where he would fail at something he was doing. But he would always try again. And then so growing up, I think everybody kind of goes into this phase of like feeling that you don't want to fail, so you don't try.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes things happen by accident. But like with what I do here, it was just a thought like I'm going to try something and I don't know where it's going to go. I had no idea that I'd be sitting here today running a podcast. Like, anyway, that's crazy, but you know, and I just tried it and it just,
but I love that, like that's what we're talking about, like, you know, it's, you just tried it,
yeah,
you saying you tried it, but what you did was you felt safe and comfortable enough to take a risk, and that's what it comes down to, because like you said, nobody wants to fail. But in a lot of ways, in order to empower our youth, we need to say, hey, it might be okay to fail.
Yeah.
As long as you get right back up.
Yeah.
And you keep moving. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about lately, when we go down to what the cookie program, and I always refer to it as a program, I try my best never to use that S word, which I'm going to have to say it here to make sure I'm making my point, but I never refer to it as a sale. And it's because it's not. We have, like, these girls, we have over 5,000 girls in Girl Scouting right now in our 42 parish area. And those girls...
You said 5,000?
5,000. Okay. Over 5,000. Those girls are engaged in the largest entrepreneurship program in the nation, Hands down.
The cookie program.
The cookie program. Hands down. That is what they're doing. You see a girl at Super One and Karen Crow saying, hey, Miss Ben, buy some cookies. And that is going to be over the next 3 weeks. So from today through March 8th, everybody will see the girls. But behind every success story, a lot of times in business, people don't see all of the actionable steps that came before it. Bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
They see, Ben, you have a successful podcast. It just happened one day. It didn't just happen because Ben, for the last, you know, if you're here today and you're successful for the last 10 years, said, these are all the things that I've got to do to make this happen. And honestly speaking, those girls are doing exactly that. A girl is going to be out there selling those cookies at Walmart or whatever in March, but she has started the program in October.
Wow.
She has started to meet with her team, her entrepreneurship team, her troop mates, and they have decided, they've done some decision making, whether or not they wanted to go to Disney World this year to our National Council session in Orlando, Florida, and how much that was going to cost, and every step, not just the goal. So the goal is there. We all have our goals. But behind those goals, they never happen unless you have these actionable steps. And that's where the program is so valuable, because it shows a girl that it's not good enough just to say, I want to go to Orlando. That's your goal. But we need to talk about how we're going to get there.
It's crazy. It's kind of like, I see this graphic a lot of the times. It's the iceberg. So you see an iceberg floating in the water. You see the little tip sticking out of the water. But what you don't see is all the bigger portion of the iceberg beneath the water. And so the metaphorical aspect of it is everybody sees the tip. Like seeing the girl at Super One, that's the tip of the iceberg, but you don't see all the other stuff.
You see everything. And so it comes off as, it's a challenge for us. I always say I have a love-hate relationship with our cookie program. I'm just going to tell it the truth. I know nothing else. But I love it because of what it can offer for our girls and the fact that it fuels the program. But I'm challenged by it because people can't see it for what it is. They didn't see that girl make that decision and then work to meet or to get that goal over the last 4 to 5 months before she, this is a 6 month process for them. This is about, you know, you talked about credit cards and you talked about the fact that it's so accessible now. These girls, they are setting up their own websites now. They are into digital marketing. And when they leave Girl Scouts, they can tell you that they have that skill set. They have it better than I have it because I know nothing about it other than what Diane tells me. So as early, you know, as like fifth grade, sixth grade, these girls are building those websites. And then think about it. They're building their network. Everybody in business and in life as an adult can identify how important it is to build your network. So I'm learning the market. I'm building my network. I'm literally taking my customer list from last year and I'm going back to them and saying, hey, you bought 10 boxes of cookies this year. What do we need to do to get you to 20 boxes, you know, this year? Like, so they're learning those tactics, those marketing tactics. They're learning down to when you see them at the booth. They had to learn how to count that money before they counted your money correctly at the booth. So they're learning to count the money. They're learning about business ethics. And Diane and I had a little conversation about that because it's so easy for me, Ben, to say it's about goal setting, decision making, people skills. But when it comes to business ethics, I always kind of, let me make sure. And she reminded me yesterday that business ethics for our program is really about the beauty of reciprocity and the fact that, you know, in business, you know, you're coming to us as Girl Scouts and saying, hey, come and tell me all about you. And you're giving us a wonderful platform, but you're also getting, somebody on your show who's going to help you grow your show. And so it's give and take. Yep. And they're learning that. You're going to come and you're going to buy a box of cookies, and lots of other people will too. They're going to benefit. But at the end of the day, ethically, they need to give back. You know, they need to go back and say, thank you for what you've done for us. And most people don't know this. And I'm just going to throw it out there as a question for you. If you had to guess, how many boxes of cookies would you say got donated last year? Not by the Girl Scout Council, but by Girl Scout troops.
If I had to guess?
If you had to guess.
God, I'm going to guess 2,000.
Add 5 to that. So over 7,000 boxes of cookies got donated.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. They got donated to military families this year, food pantries. That's just like physical boxes of cookies. So then if we could talk about, if we could quantify the value of the projects that happen, the take action projects, because you have girls who are, I was sharing with Diane, we actually have girl advisors on our board of directors. So we have 15 board members, and 3 teenage girls sit on that board.
Wow.
They are my boss every day, all day long. And so one of the girls was sharing a little bit about cookies with us in her Silver Award. And she mentioned to us that literally she's in Lafayette. We're busing kids around a bit, and she goes to Lafayette High. Her name is Amalie. I should say her name, Amalie. And Amalie and her, one of her friends, they're riding every day because they have to go through Catherine Drexel. And as 15-year-olds, they notice that, wait a minute, this school is, you know, it needs a little bit of help. It's in disrepair. They see that there are a few issues. So they ride the bus for, you know, 2 months back and forth. And they make a plan. They take part of their cookie proceeds. They go back to Catherine Drexel. And they get in there and they help to make repairs and they help to fix the school.
Wow.
So if we could only quantify those things and you add that to the 7,000 boxes of cookies, I mean, it's major and it's such a shame. You know, we are a demographic who reinvest over 90% of our income back into our families and our communities, which is something to be celebrated. On the opposite end of that, we are nurturers, we are humble, and we don't stop to celebrate. And so, you know, it's great, but on the opposite end, it's sad sometimes because we have girls who are doing these great things. But you know what? They've been trained. You go do it. You see it, you identify that problem, and you go fix it. And they're not stopping to say, I'm a Girl Scout. Look at what I'm doing. And so oftentimes we get asked, hey, all we see is cookies. We had a group of girls. I'm the CEO. And over Christmas, I saw a story on KTC about girls who are leaving jackets and coats around town for homeless people with notes. And I remember thinking, who in the world is doing this? Well, I get back to work in January. This is after the break. And she says, I'm telling her all about it. I'm trying to figure out, like, the rest of the community who's doing it. I get a video in my inbox saying, these are your Girl Scouts. Wow. But all they knew was, I see it. I need to fix it. And I'm going to do it. They never once thought, I should say I'm a Girl Scout. And we're doing this as a Girl Scout troop. And so that's a challenge for us. That's why I thank you for this opportunity. And we're working on that. We're working on, you know, we realize that we're going to have to go out there and be the voice for them. Like, our community needs to know what these girls are doing. You need to know that when you're buying a box of cookies, it matters. It's more than just a girl going to camp. You know, we have a lot of girls who, quite frankly, could never walk on camp. That's not their thing. But that's the beauty of Girl Scouts. As a girl, you come in and you figure out, you work with your leader. Diane, she should have fussed at me. It's girl led. Like, when you talk about the organizations and how we work, That's one of the things about Girl Scouting is it doesn't work if the girl isn't leading. In other words, every troop, you talked about your experience early, every troop is different, you know? My daughter's troop, they loved Blue Bayou. I hated Blue Bayou. And they loved field trips, you know, and they did wonderful things. But you have some troops, they're like, we only want to do STEM. We have some, we don't want to do any badges. We want to talk about how to deal with our realities at school. We want to talk about the challenges with bullying in a safe place, in a safe environment. We just want to be together because I can come and be in this safe space with my friends, Girl Scout group, and we can talk about the things that I'm struggling with or celebrate me when I'm doing great. So it's going to look different for each troop. And the reason is because the girls determine what they need. You know, a girl that stays in, you know, like Diane, let's say a girl stays in all 12 years, her experience won't look the same across all 12 years. Because in elementary, she's going to need one thing. By the time she gets to high school, she wants to talk. She wants to talk. She wants to learn about, you know, STEM and those types of things. But it's, if the girl is not leading, we're not doing our job. The troop leader's not doing her job, and Diane and I aren't. She's not going to stay with us if she's not leading because it's for her. I see that look on your face. I know when I tell it to people, they're like, what? Yeah.
It is, because like when I was a Girl Scout and a Brownie, you know, what we wanted was we wanted to plant flowers at our school. Mm-hmm. You know, we put together our money and our troop funds and we planted flowers because we wanted flowers on our playground. And our troop leader said, okay, you know, let's go put flowers. You know, when I was a junior, it was, we want to go to the movies. We want to, okay, well, let's work hard. Let's earn the money. And then let's go to the movies. Let's go, you know, do the trips. And then, you know, by the time you get that high school age, you know, I was looking at, I want to go to college. You know, what can I do for my, to get scholarships? I was like, okay, well, let's figure out, you know, the things that are going to be good for a resume to get you, you know, get you into college. And it was like the program, we really try to focus on the program evolving with the girl as she gets getting older, but providing enough opportunities for girls at every age for what they're interested in. It's why our badges are so wide and vast. And I always kind of go back to this, is it seems counter, you know, it seems counterintuitive, but like STEM education is so important for females. But I worry about, you know, the females that are still into the arts, the ones that want to paint and they want to draw and they want to sing and they want to dance, and letting them know that that's okay. And if you like math and science and everything, here's the tools you need to be good in that field and to make it where you need to be. But also, if you like art and you love painting and you love dancing, here's your avenue to be able to be creative and to go that way. And, you know, breaking it down, here's your badges, here's how you learn more. You know, making it a specific program and giving them enough opportunity that they can lead themselves and to say, okay, I'm interested in this, I would like to pursue that path.
This is amazing. Like what you guys are doing.
I'm so happy to hear you say. I'm like, are we overwhelming? It's a lot. It's I didn't
just
know.
It's more than just cookies.
No, it's definitely more than just cookies. It's funny you say that, because about maybe 15, 20 minutes ago, we got a comment from a Brooke Odom. Y'all know a Brooke?
Yeah.
Okay. So she said, last year our troop donated cookie money to our local food bank, which allowed them to buy 1,400 meals for those in need.
Wow.
And she put hashtag more than just a cookie. So it's literally, like you said, more than just
and
a cookie.
And she didn't say the age of her girls, but I'm pretty sure these are fairly young
girls.
They're
like the brownie, they're brownie age.
They are brown.
Yeah, she didn't state which one, but yeah, that's like, it's way, like, look, I must not have been in Boy Scouts for long or not that involved, because I don't feel like I had any of this, like, similar experience. And I don't know if it was just the small town country troop that I was in, but, like, I feel like I wish I had this type of scout leadership whenever I was in there. Yeah. And so I'm like, man, why, yeah. how did I miss out on that? And I remember the coolest thing for me as a Boy Scout was getting the, of course, the little, cub, wolf, and I think there's like Weebla, and then you get up to Eagle, and then getting the little thing that that clips on the little metal sleeve that goes onto your scarf. That was the coolest thing for me. And I'm like, okay, so I learned how to tie a knot. What else did I figure out? Like, I don't know.
Our girls, it's really, when we say girl-led, we mean girl-led. And it's making me think, because, you know, you mentioned in the uniform and things like that. So Girl Scouts, you know, we have a uniform and you have your little brownie your little brownie sash and everything like that. But the creativity that I see these girls take the traditional and make it into their own is just way beyond my imagination. In particular, I had an experience Tuesday night where a girl, I helped her, she was selling cookies, and it was her first public speaking event in front of, she's a kindergartner, and got up in front of a room of about 75 people thank them for selling cookies. And I look at her uniform, and she had her own little monogram, you know, like the little cursive monograms on her uniform.
Ooh.
I've seen girls take the inside of their uniform and, like, sew fabric themselves of different, you know, different cartoon characters or different things that they like at that point in time. So they really like she's, you know, she mentioned, Rachel mentioned the meat thing. You know, they really take the traditional and keep it the same, but spin it into what they want it to be. Mm-hmm. You know, taking that uniform and recognizing it as, this uniform represents that I'm a part of a group and I'm a part of something bigger, but this uniform also represents myself, my identity, and what have I accomplished through that. So, you know, they take their little badges and they're proud of that, but they really take it and individualize it into what, you know, what they want to represent and what they want to show to the world through the Girl Scout program. Mm-hmm.
Don't feel bad, Ben. I talked about when we opened about how I talked to the girls about being from the country. But the other thing that I do is sometimes I'll introduce myself as a dropout Girl Scout. Mm-hmm. And that always throws people off.
Yeah.
And so there's always some crazy story with me. But when I first started working there, early 2000s, I remember, like, after my first month there, I was like, what in the world this is? I had that moment you had. Like, how did I not know about this? And I came to that point where I called my mom and I said, lady, look, you had me in 4-H. I was in Key Club. I did everything. Like, they kept me busy band. And I said, I can't believe you didn't put me in Girl Scouts. And she said, you were in Girl Scouts for about 4 months, and then you wanted to quit. And I was like, and you let me quit?
Maybe that's what happened with me.
And you let me quit? And she was like, well, but yeah. And so a lot of times, I going back to that whole thing, sometimes I wonder, like, having that opportunity, especially being, I can identify with you from that small town, and there's just not a lot, you know, going on. It would have been helpful.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to... you know, I don't know. Maybe it was me that wanted to get out. Maybe I was not interested in it at the time because they were going out to, there's a Boy Scout camp or field, like in Chico, by Chico. And so I know we went out there one time, and maybe I'm just not that big of an outdoorsy person, but I love technology. I love science and art.
You see, you just hit at the reason that it's girl-led, because we know that. It's like we don't want to just be right. We want to do the right thing by the girls. And so while the outdoor program, it is a core pillar of the Girl Scouts, it really is. But the bottom line is, not every girl needs that or even wants that. So we know that there are all these other wonderful things that she needs. And if we can bring it to her, then we're going to do it. And so if it means that particular troop is not going to focus on outdoor education, they're going to focus on the life skills, you know, pillar in Girl Scouting, lots of girls like me, I'm not too much into STEM. I'm more a life skills type of girl, you know, community problem solving. Like, you would have been given that opportunity to say, maybe I'll go check out this other troop that has this, you know, that they're learning and they're on this track that I need to be on, because we understand that not every child, you know, wants that same outdoor experience.
Yeah. Because we have girls that are going like hardcore camping, yes, in the tent, like
everything.
And then we have what I like to call, you know, we have our Girl Scouts that are, they want to be in a cabin and they want to have their air conditioning.
The Troop Beverly Hills.
and that's fine too. Like, that's their own experience. We have some girls that they don't, you know, they don't want to do outdoors at all. They want to focus on, recently I had a troop, some pictures, you know, I get sent in pictures and videos and all kind of stories all day long. So like, it's always fresh in my mind, you know, wonderful troop volunteer, her husband taught them how to change oil, and I mean, they were little bitty girls, but they were so amazed. Like, they were so amazed. It was the first time they got to look inside a vehicle and see and show what that is, and show, you know, what's the technical side of that. And so those girls, you know, you might be into the way things work and how, you know, how things move on a more mechanical side of things rather than a more technological side of things. And so that, you know, it's the beauty of the experience and the girl experience to choose, you know, to choose what you want and what you want to do.
Wow. With lots of girl dads, by the way. She made me think about it. Like, for years we've had, it's just been sort of resurfaced with Kobe Bryant, but we have lots of girl dads. They are wholly invested in the girl, in the troop. We even have a few male troop leaders, to be honest with you, and they normally are some of our best, you know? So very... You know, whatever it takes to support the girl is where we are.
Yeah, Girl Scouts is we focus on saying it is a girl program. It is girl only, but it's not in that traditional sense, because this is kind of the next stereotype I hear always after Cookies, is that it's a mom and a daughter thing.
Yeah.
And it's really not. It's a mom, a daughter, a grandma, an aunt, a friend, a dad, an uncle, a grandpa, a brother, an older brother. It's really a family oriented thing. You know, we have programming that's girl specific, but we as a council really try to put on programming that all families can attend to. Family things that you can bring mom, you can bring dad. Recently we're doing a Girl Scout Family Adventure Patch, where we're encouraging families, so the mom, the dad, the grandma, the aunt, whoever you want to bring, little brother, older sister, little sister, to do activities all over Louisiana. And showing us and showcasing that you're doing it as a family, and in return, you know, you earn your patch for your uniform, and that it's not just, you know, it's not just a program that you're working on by yourself. It's something that you're working on to encourage, you know, other people to learn and to get involved in Girl Scouts, because Girl Scouts on a programmatic level is K through 12 girls. But on a broad scale, anybody can be a Girl Scout. Our membership is open to, you know, to any adult, male or female, any age, that wants to be a part of raising up these young girls into good leaders and women in their communities.
Wow. See, I didn't know that. That's good to know. Yeah. Like, I figured if I was a dad of a young girl that I could, you know, put my little girl in the Girl Scouts. But to say that you guys have male troop leaders, that I would have never thought.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was the most female-dominated thing. And, I mean, that's the view. Like, especially
it's what people see.
Yeah, especially when you go to buy your cookies. You don't see guys hanging around like the dads. You know, you see mostly the women and the more... authoritative female figures there, and some of the little girls are authoritative.
I saw a video this morning on a Chicago news channel, and it was they're not our area, but still really cool for the program. This one dad in particular, he's not a dad anymore, he's now a grandparent. And he had been a troop leader for 15 years.
Wow.
And when kind of some of the female, you know, they spoke to some of the female family members of the girls in the troop, kind of asking, you know, what was their thought on the experience and what did they think about that? And they said, you know, a valuable female role model is really good in a girl's life, but a male role model is almost just as important. Because on a day-to-day basis in your everyday life and in your career, you know, in your career, you're not just going to work with just females. You're going to work with males, too. And so it's important to have that interaction and to see what it means to have, you know, to have good male role models in your life. And so we have troop leaders and, you know, we have them from a vast variety of family, you know, family orientations that can really make a difference in a girl's life almost as much as a female can, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, there is so much right here.
There's a lot. And I'm going to keep going with where Diane went, because she got me thinking about, just in general, we talked a little bit about platforms that we have. You know, we talked about STEM. But one of the other things is, the bottom line is, we're all invested in girls and women. Everybody has a mom. Everybody has a daughter. You know, that is how it is. And so for us, while we have our girls and we have our Girl Scout families locally, one of the things that we really are concerned about, and it's going to take all of us, is the fact that the state of the girl in Louisiana, and I'm going to say it and cringe when I say it, is that we actually rank 48th in the nation when it comes to girl well-being. And you've heard stats so similar to that, you know, when it comes to education, when it comes to poverty, all those things. It's sad. And as a community, and I'm saying community and families, that's what she got me thinking about, is that it's too big of a problem for Girl Scouts to solve or just women to solve. It is a every person problem. In 2017, that Girl Scout Research Institute that I shared with you, actually every year, they take a look at the well-being of all girls. These are just girls in general across the nation. And what they found was that not only are our girls 48th, but our girls still haven't recovered since the 2000, their well-being since the recession that happened in 2007. It's a shame, you know, not that all of us have perfectly recovered, but the fact that our girls in Louisiana in particular have fared worse off. And the fact that you have girls who are, these are all the stats that you heard, economically disadvantaged, that more of them are living in single parent families. Single parent families are wonderful. My husband, he is the best man. No knock on you, Ben. He is the best man I'll ever know. You know, God, I always say to him, when you're gone, I'm done. And he was raised by a strong, powerful female, you know, so I honor them. But we know, I know personally, that he still carries those bruises and those scars, you know. So you have our kids living in this state. Education. Oh, God, I wish I would have reviewed that stat. When it comes to eighth graders, and rather or not they're meeting their math, reading and writing, they're not there. And not only are they not there, but they are way down at the bottom. And for us, we have to recognize that it's our responsibility, you know, and it's our responsibility as Girl Scouts, as community members, stakeholders, to come together and say, wait a minute, if this is a demographic that is reinvesting over 90% of their income in communities, why wouldn't we want to fix that? Because we know we're going to get that back and then some. They're going to grow. They're going to be in a better space. But then the next generation, you know, we're sitting here today as community leaders. We have a responsibility to make sure that somebody's here when we get too old to do this, you know, and
these are the same girls who are in a real poor state. And so for us as Girl Scouts, we've recently, and we've been on this thing for a while now, but here locally, we're trying to really come together and talk about it. We plan to have a summit that is not only going to expose our girls to more of these wonderful opportunities that we talked about around STEM and life skills and financial literacy, but also create a platform to bring community stakeholders together to really sit and talk about the realities of where a girl is today in Louisiana and what can we do to positively move that needle. We plan to do that April 25th at the Louisiana College in Pineville. We're so thankful to have that platform, and we've gotten really great response from community members to come in, to take part in the panels, to really try to do something. You know, it's not just enough for us as Girl Scouts to benefit from the communities. You know, thanks to everybody for buying those cookies. And so this is a part of our reciprocity. Like, what can we do to not only impact the 5,000 girls that we serve, but what about it's actually, I think, over 185,000 girls.
Across the nation?
Across, in the 42 parishes that we serve.
Wait, so the 5,000 girls is?
Girl Scouts.
Okay.
But if I look at our available population of girls, gotcha, K through 12,
gotcha,
you're talking 185,000 girls. So that means 185,000 of our community members are not in a great state, you know, because they're girls. So 185,000 girls across these 42 parishes in Louisiana, their well-being is in fact being rated as poor, 48th, as compared to other girls in the nation.
You take things like, you know,
when you look at those numbers, that's sad.
You take things like, and I think of it every day in my job, you think about the girl, you know, in the scholarship and being like, she's 17 years old and she did that. Mm-hmm. But she did that through that platform. And it's like, that's 5,000 members. If there's 185,000 girls, mm-hmm, if they had these tools that they could use, exactly, to accomplish that, what could they collectively do? What could that, mm-hmm, impact be to change Louisiana and to, exactly, make that 48th, mm-hmm, skyrocket into a better number and a better opportunity for our girls here? Because I think about, you know, like you said, the dropout Girl Scout. You think every day, what could I have done, mm-hmm, by giving these girls this platform and speaking about it at this leaders conference? We're trying to show community members that by providing this program, we're achieving, you know, X, Y, and Z, and this is the impact of a Girl Scout versus this is what's happening, mm-hmm, you know, without that guidance and that leadership potential.
Wow. So there's a lot of work need to be done.
A lot of work, definitely.
But you guys are doing so much, and it's so cool to see all the different things. I mean, you talked about the safe spaces and for the girls, mm-hmm, to be willing to try and to be able to fail and get back up. And you guys touched on the Gold Awards. I know we're at about an hour and 10 minutes. I know you
were right about the time flies.
I told you
didn't need to be worried.
See, going, is there anything else that you haven't said or that you want to talk about before we wrap this up? Because, you know, over an hour, that's a lot of information.
Just that, if, you know, as always, the last plug, if you want to know any more information, we have a website, gslpg.org. You know, you can get on and see everything about what we're about. Most importantly, cookies is going on right now. Mm-hmm. Cookie booth sales do start this weekend, so that's when you'll see them at things like your local drug emporium, Super One, things like that. And we do have a cookie finder app. So that's one of those.
Y'all have a cookie finder app.
We do have a cookie finder app.
Put your zip code in.
And it'll tell you exactly where to get those. And so you can go on our website, put your zip code in there, or download the app. And, you know, we have all social media, Facebook, Instagram, definitely, Twitter, you know, Pinterest, as far as it comes. That's all GSLPG. And we, you know, we'd love for you to come and see, you know, what we're all about.
Love.
Learn more.
All right, so before we close this out, you talked a lot about what you guys do and the initiatives and all that, but I want to know, what is y'all's favorite cookie?
Thin mint, hands down.
Thin mint,
every day. In the freezer, cold as they can be. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And it's so bad because I could eat the whole box in one sitting, and I know I shouldn't, and they're dangerous. So I myself have to make sure I get a wide variety of other cookies, because if I have those thin mints, I put myself in trouble every time.
So you put them in the freezer?
In the freezer. They are so good.
They don't get rock solid?
No, they're so good. It's kind of like if you stick like a candy bar, mm-hmm. you know, you throw like a little Hershey's in the freezer.
It makes it even more crunchier.
Oh my God, they're delicious. And also, if you want to save them for the next year, because, you know, stuff, you know, girls don't sell all year long, I literally have a stash in my freezer.
They freeze very well.
Okay, so.
I too am a thin mint girl. I have to admit, I'm working on making our new lemonade cookie, like the new love of my life with the cookies, because I love lemon. But yeah, honestly, right now it's thin mints.
Okay, so I'm a thin mint guy too.
Oh, yes.
Look, I love Samoas. My wife, she's a Samoa girl. Yeah. But the thin mints, I love mint. York peppermint patties.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Junior mints, I murder those things. And so I put thin mints and peppermint patties in the ice box. I call it an ice box because I'm from the country.
Join the club.
But I put them in the ice box. Because I love a good cold mint. I don't know. It's like it hits your mouth and it's just different.
With a glass of water. It brings out the flavor.
Yeah, because mint, it's a cooling factor already. And then you amp it up.
Oh, it's
but
so good.
I've never put thin mints.
It'll change your life.
Because I can go through a box too. Like, I have to use the sleeve. And I say, okay, I'm going to eat half a sleeve. I'm going to eat half the sleeve, and I'm going to twist it, put it back in the box.
I do the same thing. But then you end up going back like 3 hours later.
Oh, yeah. No. In one day, the sleeve is gone, and then I've already tapped into the second sleeve. And I'm like, I'm looking. I'm just like, did I get another box? Like, my wife, she'll buy two boxes. Because I tell her, like, I know the first box is going to go quick. I need a second box. And then we just bought some. And so they're gone already, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got 3 more weeks.
Okay.
3 more weeks. And she's right. So just freeze it. I would tell everybody to do that.
Awesome. Look, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to come on. Obviously, this is a great platform for you guys to talk about the Girl Scouts and everything that you guys do. You guys do so much, and it's mind blowing, but it's also it's humbling, because I'm like, I did not think that deep into it.
Yeah, most people don't.
No.
But I appreciate you being open to having us and definitely allowing us to share more about this. And you know, we hope to share even more in the upcoming months. We really do. We need to make it known. These are the cool things that our girls are doing. And it's so much bigger. So much bigger, I think, than anybody realizes.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, look, guys, thank you for coming on. And you guys already said the website. And so you guys, look, just type in Girl Scouts of Louisiana. I'm pretty sure it'll come up.
It'll come up. Yeah. You're right.
So anyway, thank you. And look, man, I'm going to buy some cookies, I'm sure.
Awesome. So, thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
For information on sponsoring the Tea Podcast by Developing Lafayette, go to our website at developinglafayette.com and click Advertise.